Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Well, good afternoon. This is Lon Woodbury again with the Woodbury Report. And we have on the phone today Ken Davis. Well, good afternoon, Ken. Incidentally, it's March 21st, 2017. But good to have you here, Ken.
Well, good to be here, Lon. It's certainly good to be able to have this talk with you. And, gosh, we've been buddies for quite some time.
Quite a while, several conferences ago. Okay, well, Ken Davis, he's an educational consultant, but he's the CEO of Educational Planning and Counseling Services and in Arizona. And today we're going to talk about parent choice. That's a big issue with the new administration and the new education secretary. That's been a little bit controversial because she's one of their things is parent choice that she's going to try to push, and has been controversial. So our question, can parent choice improve education? Okay, I know there's pros and there's cons in this thing. Ken, you want to tackle and talk about that?
Boy, I tell you, it's a tough subject these days because in the discussion of parent choice is certainly one that's been in the education field for many years about where can I send my child to school or where can they go to school? Should they go to private school? Should they go to public school? Should they go to day schools? Should they go to charter schools? Should they go to magnet schools? And I think, Lon, you and I have had this discussion before that school choice is really about many, many options in the education field. And so the question that we've been discussing is, you know, what is school choice in the first place, and where can you send your child if they're going to receive an education?
That's a good, that's a good way to talk about it. Let me interject something here, because school choice, to a large extent, when I was a kid, more than a couple decades ago, when I was a kid, there really wasn't much school choice. You went to the local school that it was designated in your jurisdiction. It was public school, and the only option was to go to a private school, and that was mostly New England. There's some in Oregon and some other areas. And since then, as you mentioned, there's all these other types of public schools, charter schools, magnet schools, and I know like states like Idaho, people here in my town, Bonners Ferry, can take their kids to other districts in the state, to Sandpoint or even Coeur d'Alene if they wanted to. The legislature's given them that right. So there's a lot more choices for parents to do. And then, of course, there's a whole, and the controversial part is private religious schools or private schools in general. So it's sort of overwhelming to the parents, and that's sometimes one of the problems. So that's sort of how I see parent choice as. You talk about it in your ideas, Ken.
Well, there's certainly those choices too, but you know, if you add something to the mix there, you also have homeschooling, which is another choice.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, the question now is, you know, when you talk about school choices, does that include homeschooling? A lot of parents are offering to send their to not take their kids into a public school setting, or into a private school setting, and so their choice is to teach them in the home setting.
Well, there's even the unschooling movement, which is sort of associated with that, to where any formal education like that is considered detrimental to the kids, and they allow them to free roam, follow their curiosity and interests, and that can be very successful for some kids. So that's another choice, the unschooling, which is a little different wrinkle on the homeschooling, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of individuals. I know in Arizona they have a yearly homeschool conference down here in Phoenix that is pretty well attended. I've attended one, and there's probably at least 2,000 or 3,000 people who are doing homeschooling just in the state of Arizona now alone.
Yeah, we have a lot of them up here in Idaho too. And some of the kids I've been very impressed with, and some of the kids that it's sort of a sham take advantage of it. They tell the school, well, we're homeschooling our kids because they want to keep them home so they can work in the chores around the house. And so it the entire range of that. So there's all these choices that parents have. And it used to be the parents didn't even have a choice. It was you either send your kid to the public school or an acceptable private school, or you go to jail.
I think in the private school industry, there's always been this separation between those kids who were fairly wealthy and those kids who are in the public school setting. I think one of the significant landmark cases was Brown versus Board of Education, when it simply made it possible for kids who would live in low-income areas to receive equal access to education. It wasn't about private schools, but it was also opening the door for public school kids to go to public schools without any type of discrimination. And of course, back in the 50s and 60s, there was significant discrimination in schools.
Very bad.
And there were schools where black kids went, and there were kids where white schools kids went to school. And oftentimes, there was great gaps between what was being learned in those schools versus in those private, more well-funded programs.
Yeah, well, that was the bad old days, and we got rid of that. Brown versus the Board of Education was one of the key legislative things in that. There was one in the 30s, and I forget the name of it, was pretty controversial, in that the public school movement says, well, you have to attend a public school, and if you attend a private school, then you're breaking the law because you're not attending public school. And the Supreme Court, it got all the way to the Supreme Court before that got struck down. But there's been a lot of turmoil this last century over that whole idea of school choice. So now we get it to the situation to where the parent's sitting there, and they have all these possibilities, and some of them might not know it or can't afford them. Afford some of the options, but we have all those possibilities that parents can take advantage of that they didn't used to. So that's the parent choice. Now, some people are against it because, and I think they point to irresponsible parents, and other parents are all for it. So talk about that a little bit. Where are we at now, and where do we seem to be going, Ken?
Well, I think there's been a great shift in thinking about education as it is, and I think there is this thought that if I have this choice, if I make this choice to send my child to a school, is it going to be in the best interest of them for their own educational future? Is it going to produce the kind of things that would result in them being able to go to college? So there's some long-standing issues there with regard to the effects of making school choice. And the other part is that some parents may not be able to afford to send their kids to a four-year college. And so because of that, they have made some decisions that they're going to send their kids to a technical or vocational school. And in more recent years, of course, community colleges have offered some options for kids who might not be able to go for a four-year school. So in the community colleges, those schools have increased. I know in Arizona, Maricopa Community Colleges is just a wealth of students who are in the community colleges now taking those preliminary classes that you would take in a four-year school, maybe at a cheaper rate.
I think that's part of the whole movement. There's been a tendency for public funding one way or another to like vouchers or subsidies or even more funding to schooling to give these options, because it used to be that private boarding school was the best quality, but you had to be rich to send them. Now they do a lot of scholarshiping. and additional funding. So that's that's opened up a lot of that problem, you said. And the community colleges are basically pretty inexpensive, so that's a big opening up to allow kids to get college, some college, at least in the vocational area if they like. And vocational is the best way to go for some kids. Everybody, it's the thought that everybody should go to college is sort of dumb, seems like to me.
You know, it used to be very much a given that the kids would go to college. I know when I was growing up, I know my first school that I went to was a large university, and I started off in a summer program at Wayne State University, which had about 70,000 students. But the University of Michigan had 100,000 students. And they were very, very competitive, and people wanted to go to the University of Michigan. But unfortunately, the acceptance rate was limited. Students who applied, even though they had high grade point averages and high SAT scores, they still were competing with other kids around the country to go to U of M. So, you know, it began to be a bit of a shift. And so those kids who weren't accepted at those major universities, the University of Michigan, and if we look at the larger schools like Harvard and Yale and Princeton, you know, they have limited amount of acceptance into those schools. And so it began to be, a matter of, is this school is really going to give an education, but the other part of it, will it result in some real positive benefits for that child if they graduate from that particular school? If you go to University of Michigan, if you go to Harvard or Yale, it was a great advantage of going rather than going to a community college where no one really knew you. And so so those relationships have been established not only in the four-year schools where faculty members know you a little bit longer than going to a community college where you only go for 2 years and no one may not even know who you are.
Boy, if you got the skills, if they did a good job of teaching, it should work well. Well, we've about ran out of time, but what's the downside of parent choice? Because it's somewhat controversial. Let's talk a little bit of some of your thoughts on the downside. And this is one of the reasons I think that Betsy DeVos, the new education secretary, has been controversial, is that she's so much for the parent choice and vouchers and charter schools and all of that. You talk about that a little bit, sort of the downside of it.
Well, the downside of it is really about affordability. You know, how much will these vouchers offset the cost of going to a private school? If I receive a $5,000 voucher and the school will cost $20,000, you know, how affordable will that be for people who may not be able to go to a school or to a private school? So I think that really raises the gap there. We're kind of back to where we were many years ago, is how much can individuals afford to go to a private school? Like you said, Lon, it used to be the times when that didn't have to be a decision maker. You just simply went to the closest school, and you didn't have to worry about the cost of that school because it was being paid by federal tax dollars. And now we're pushing the envelope and saying, if you're not going to a public school, if you're going to a public school and you want to go to a charter school, how much is it going to cost, and how much is the government willing to put in to help you to go to that school?
Well, years ago, that wasn't an option. You just went to the public school. There wasn't these other options. And if you can't afford to go to these other schools, well, you can still go to the original option, the local public school, because they still haven't. And correct you, just a small portion of the money for schools comes from the federal government. Most of it comes from the state and the local on the funding of the public schools.
Sure. And you know, I think the funding source is really the critical piece here. We need more funding. We need more funding for public education, probably more than we've had before. And so the question is, are they going to cut funding in public education, or are they going to increase the funding so that it offsets the cost for the voucher program or for the school choice program? I don't know. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, Lon.
Okay, well, it's that's up to the legislature and the school board. Like, We just had a levy here locally, a $2 million a year levy that we voted on for plant facilities. And about half to maybe a little bit more than half of the Idaho state budget goes to schooling, both. Funding, yes, I can see the more funding, but seems like that comes back to, we always come back to, we need more funding, and not all of the dollars in this public funding are spent very well. So there's some problems, yeah. There's some issues in the school choice, but part of it is that where you only had one choice, now you have multiple choices, and you can't exercise some of the different choices for finances. Well, okay, we need to work on that and find out a way to do that. And hopefully, the new education secretary has some creative ideas on that. Hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm hoping that some funding will be provided more than a decrease in funding, because cuts in education is just going to result in less choices to me. I mean, that's my thought.
Yeah.
But if you don't have funding to support school choice, if you don't have enough funding to support those charter schools, you basically are, it's a choice that's underfunded.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good point. We have to wrap it up here because we are just about out of time. But thank you very much, Ken. This is Lon Woodbury of the Woodbury Report. And been talking with Ken Davis, the CEO of Educational Planning and Counseling Services. And, give you about a half a minute. Talk a little bit about your business, what you offer, and how to get a hold of you if somebody wanted to ask some questions.
Well, Lon, I'm in Arizona. I'm living about an hour outside of Phoenix in Sin City West. My office is there, and I do work, in a home setting. So I'm able to be reached fairly quickly and fairly easily. I'm open 7 days a week, actually, and people can reach me at 888-489-6669. That's 888-489-6669. And you can also email me at educationalplanning28@gmail.com. That's educationalplanning28@gmail.com. But certainly I'd like to hear from your listeners and get some feedback about how they feel about school and parent choice.
Okay, and anything else? Ken's been around a long time as an educational consultant. And anything else you have in mind on that? Okay, well, thank you very much, Ken. And you have a good rest of the day. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report.
Thank you, Lon. You've been great.